Hey, you guys. You are listening to the Oh Crap Potty Training Podcast. I am your host, Jamie Glowacki, and I am the author of Oh Crap Potty Training and Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. So today I want to talk about things you don't want to do or say during potty training. Typically, I don't like to work in the negative. I think life is just more general. This goes for parenting. This goes for our relationships. When we speak in the positive and the things we do want to do and say. However, a lot of things are cropping up in my work and the OCRAP certified consultants work where we're finding parents are making these sort of big mistakes. Now, these are things that I may have said in other podcasts, but I wanted to do a whole podcast just about these. So they're all in one place. So you can kind of double check yourself. What I find happens is a lot of people will read my book. They'll kind of read it before they've jumped into potty training and things crop up and they will forget the things that I said in the book, or it wasn't like important to you when you read it at the time. So you might not have taken that information in, right? Like we only tend to take information in when we need it. So you may have glossed over these things. Now, I'm going to kind of divide them into three parts. One is like things you don't do before potty training, things that you don't do during potty training, and there's things that you don't do or say after you've kind of gotten over the major hump of potty training. So the very first thing before you start potty training is do not crowdsource your information. So a lot of parents do this, and I understand as moms, especially dads, not so much, but with moms, we are talkers. We ask our friends, we ask our mom friends, we ask for help. We say, oh, what did you do? What did you do? When you crowdsource potty training information, especially in this day and age, you're going to get some messed up information. Yeah, there's all kinds of things circulating. Like one of the big ones I've heard is if your child's struggling with pooping, cut a hole in their disposable diaper. That is like asinine. So you will shake your resolve. So get a plan. It doesn't have to be my plan. I'm here. This is my podcast. I hope you use my plan. I think my plan is good. But get yourself a plan and get confident on your own. If you keep asking people, you're going to get so many conflicting things that it will put you in a position of not being like a strong teacher. You want to be confident and convicted of like the things, have these things with conviction, right? Convicted maybe was the wrong word for that. I don't want you convicted of anything. But you want to be, you have to be an excellent teacher when you're potty training, and it is 75% you when you begin this process, okay? It's you recognizing your child's signals and getting and taking action and getting them to recognize those pee and poop signals. If you are feeling weak and shaky or you have 800 things, it may sound really good to have 800 things in your toolbox. The problem is we can never predict what happens with a child once you take that diaper off, right? You may have an angel child who has never said boo to you. You take the diaper off and all of a sudden the devil himself walks into your house, right? We don't know. And so what will happen is you'll have too many tools in your toolbox. So you want to sort of limit that, especially when you get conflicting advice, right? So for example, I don't recommend using rewards. A lot of people use rewards, but they don't tell you about what goes wrong when rewards kind of go sideways. So that could be very conflicting for you. It also, the problem is people get, I've said this so many times on this podcast, people get so sure about this milestone, so sure, this is how you do it. But I want to remind you, everybody's kid is different and everybody's kid is under their parenting roof. They have a different way of being. So just because it worked seamlessly for one person doesn't mean it's going to work seamlessly for the next. Yes. And that's why I say my book is like a curriculum. It's a guide. It's really not meant to be taken word for word for word because every kid's going to react different. And I don't ever have the hubris of thinking one way is going to work for every child. If there were one way that worked seamlessly with every child, we would know it. It would be the worst kept secret in the world. And if for some reason I had it, I would charge $1 million. No, I wouldn't. Okay. So don't crowdsource. Get a plan, stick with the plan, get confident with you and your spouse. I always say this, and people more and more feel compelled to share on social media when they're starting potty training, which is fine, but this goes along with crowdsourcing. If you post on social media, you are going to get a lot of comments. And again, people telling you this is the only way to do it. So be careful. It's going to shake your resolve. So I always recommend to not post on social media until you're well into the process. And if you post on social media, you might see like bigger accounts say this, like, hey, who has tips for potty training? That's really clickbait to drive the algorithm, right? So don't do that as a person who's like not a big influencer, if you don't need clickbait on your account, which sounds like a weird thing, but people do it. If you ask for tips, it's the same thing with crowdsourcing. You're just going to get a bunch of information and it's going to confuse you. And the biggest issue again is that if you are fearful and not confident, your child is also going to be fearful and not confident, and it will look like a disaster. And if you smell like fear, your child will eat you up and spit out the bones. You have to lead with confidence and surety. Okay. So now let's go through some of the big things once you begin potty training. Like, this is like the first week or so. Remember, the big thing about prompting, you do not want to ask your child if they have to go pee. You are going to have to prompt your child for most of their life. The difference is that most of their childhood, I should say, not their lives, right? Like, even Pascal, who's going to be 18 years old, sometimes I'm like, hey, dude, make sure you pee before you get in the car. Or he'll be playing a video game and his leg's shaking. And I'm like, dude, stop, go pee, you know? But the difference is he's older. He's like, yeah, of course, you know? In the first like 6 months or so, I would say you just don't want to ask. And parents will say, they get so confused by this. They're like, you tell me to prompt, but you told me not to ask. That makes no sense. Literally do not ask the question. Do you have to go potty? You will get a no. Most oftentimes the child will say no, even if they're sitting there and their eyes are yellow, they're so full of pee, their legs are crossed, you can see they have to pee, right? If you ask the question and they get a no, you set yourself up for a power struggle. So remember, when you're prompting, you're using a statement, a choice, or a challenge. A statement, that is, come, it's time to go to the potty. Now it's time, let's go. A choice, do you want to use the big pot or the little pot? Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first? And a challenge, I bet I can race you to the potty. I bet you can't fill that with pee. And that works really well for your kids who are, you know, come out of the womb with boxing gloves, the spirited kids, the kids who might be a little more confrontational, a little more volatile. That the challenge works really well for those kids. So again, do not ask them. Yes. Okay. Moving on. You have started potty training. Your child is having trouble, with poop. And so they may request a diaper to poop in. This is a huge don't. Do not do this. If you are doing this, immediately stop, get some help. Once your child has started the potty training process and they request a diaper to poop in, this can be extremely damaging to the whole process. If they are old enough to request a diaper to poop in, they are certainly old enough to be potty trained. Yes. And I do see this. There's very few things that I find hard to fix. Pooping in a diaper goes on for a really long time and it gets you into hot water. Every September, I get kids who are kicked out of school because they, you know, the anus opens with emotion. They get very excited at school. Their anus starts to open. They have to poop. They kind of freak out for a diaper. They disrupt the class and they get kicked out for not being potty trained properly. I have seen this extend into 7 and 8 year olds, even 9 and 10 year olds in some severe cases. So this doesn't usually get better. It makes things worse. And it is one of the things, I can fix it, but it's tremendously hard the longer you do this. And so I give this warning not to scare you because I know how it happens. You're like, oh my God, this kid's got a poop. I'll just do anything to get a poop. But it's an anxiety and it needs to be worked through. Get my Pooping Solutions program if you need it. And then if you need a consultation, I would highly suggest that. I cannot overstate what a big issue this is. And it seems like such a minor thing in your life. You're like, whew, I got the poop, we're all set, but it can go on for a really long time. And I try to not, generally speaking, when I talk about potty training, I really try to set you guys at ease because I know this milestone has become so wrought with anxiety for you. And so I really try hard to not to not like scare you in any way, shape or form, but this is a scary one. You, if you're doing this, you have to stop. Okay. Don't over talk and don't hover. This is a huge one. We have become, if you don't listen to my other podcast, I highly suggest you do. Especially I have an interview with Dr. Peter Gray, who's an expert on play and how play builds resiliency in kids. And then I've done a couple of other podcasts about internal and external locus of control, giving your child control, and just how damaging helicopter parenting is. And what happens in potty training is we are at our top helicopter parent game, because it feels like the stakes are really high, right? Like pee or poop on the floor is not a pleasant thing. So we are on our kids like white on rice, and it's damaging to the process. It suffocates the kids. They start to not feel like they're taking this on as their own. So don't over talk. In the very beginning, and even a little before you start potty training, parents will reach out to me and say, you know, what books can I use? What videos can I use? I don't recommend potty training books. I don't recommend potty training videos. If you have to, the Daniel Tiger and the Elmo videos on potty training are good, and some sort of potty training book. The problem with books and videos is that they lead you to believe the child's learning. They're not learning. It's just an entertaining book. And the other problem is your child is all they're taking in is potty training, potty training, potty, 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 everything they watch, everything they read, everything coming out of your mouth. And so they get sick of it. It's too much pressure. It's like anything. If you were like, you know, eat your beans, eat your beans, eat your beans, eat your green beans, eat, your kid would be like, fuck you, I'm not eating, right? They would rebel. So you have to stop over talking. You also have to stop over talking, like not only the words potty and potty training, but like, I see you're on your tiptoes. I see you have to go. I see, okay, we're going to go to the potty. And when we're done going to the potty, we're going to wash our hands. And then we're going to stay naked, but because you're still learning and potty training, just stop over talking. It's such a fine line. We have to remind our kids, but you want to really shave your language. And this is where women, we talk more than men by like 100%. Ask your son, does mommy talk too much? Yep. So shave your language and don't hover. If you're like, if you're watching this, you can kind of see me, but if you're not, I'll try to describe it. It's like we just stay on them. We're too close. And we're like, and we're like in their personal space. And so don't do that either. Like you've got to, it is a fine dance, and I don't know how to describe it. I wish I had like really concrete, quantifiable data to give you, but there's a fine line of like watching closely, but not hovering. Hovering feels suffocating, right? And when a person hovers, it's very jarring. Pascal will hover when he has like something difficult he wants to talk about. And it's really funny because he'll just kind of like, he'll be like right on me. And I'm like, dude, what is up? What do you need? And so don't do that. Yeah. Okay. So now moving on a little bit, like you're kind of in the potty training, you know, maybe you're over the major hump, maybe you're still working on it, maybe like a week in. This is a new thing that people are doing. And I understand where you're going with it, but if we think about toddler brain development, it's very, very tricky. So parents will ask, are you dry? Are you dry? And, or they will set up some sort of reward or chart system for the child who, stays dry. Staying dry is a secondary thought. It is an outcome of them having gone to the potty. So you're asking for some extended thinking, and it's a very lofty concept. So don't ask them if they're dry. That's a very weird thing for a child, because they don't have a huge bank to draw on as to what that means and what you're referencing. So it's just an ineffective question. Do I think you're doing any damage? Probably not, but you're not doing anything else. You're not doing anything beneficial. Okay. The better question is, you know, did you go potty? Or you don't even have to ask a question. You say, it's time to go potty. Great job. And then you could slip in, now you're dry. Or, you know, you may start to notice, you know, when it's time to go potty, you feel maybe their underpants, if they're already in an underpants, and you say, oh, your underpants are dry. So we can introduce the concept, but we can't rely on the child. And when parents set up a sticker chart for staying dry, it drives me bananas. First of all, don't set up a sticker chart, okay? If you want to give your kid a sticker after they go potty, I don't think there's any harm in that. I hate rewards, but the sticker is the most innocuous. If you want to put it on a piece of cardboard on your wall, fine, that's cool. The idea that a 2 or 3 year old has the brain development to track many days of staying dry to equate to a larger prize, because that's what these behavior charts do, that's asinine, you guys. You can't do that. That their brain development isn't there. And parents will tell me, no, my 2.5 year old totally understood that. No, they didn't. You got lucky. They just happened to stay dry. The idea of accumulating, they're not there yet. Accumulating days to get a bigger prize, they may be yesing you, but they actually don't understand it. So it's a useless exercise. Again, if you want to give a sticker, I don't think that's crazy as long as you stick to one sticker. Rewards, you know, don't reward, I think, because you do get into trouble when you're using candy or mini marshmallows, because they tend to escalate, that you just end up with a disaster. It can be a nightmare. So I say stay away from it. And I've said this so many times, parents, people say, oh, I just used an M&M. It went great. Good for them. But nobody ever tells you about the disasters. And I see the disasters and they're horrible. Once you have started, again, don't ask if they want a diaper, don't threaten a diaper. So I'll hear this. If a parent is struggling after like a week, a parent is struggling and they're like, they're upset, right? Like, oh, fine. What do you want? A diaper to be a baby? And your kid will probably say yes. That's a very bad threat. Remember, the diaper is all they have known and loved. Most kids want a diaper. Like, that's just how it is, right? That's the thing that's been on their butt forever. It also means they don't really have to think about this new thing, right? So when you threaten with a diaper, it's not a threat at all. And once your kid says yes, you're kind of screwed. So don't threaten with it. And then I have to add this on, because I'm hearing more and more about this, which parents will come to me or one of the OCRAPS consultants and be like, yeah, like she's mostly potty trained, you know, but she likes to wear a diaper when we go out, or she likes to wear a diaper at school. And I'm like, she likes to wear a diaper. Like, we're not giving a kid a choice. Yes. Don't get me wrong. There are certain situations in which a child has to be diapered for daycare or something like that, because it's, you know, it's not going well and the teachers have had it, but that's a different scenario. But parents are offering the kid the choice, or the kid asks to wear a pull-up sometimes, and the parents do that. You are screwing with the process of potty training. This really works best as a rip the Band-Aid off approach. It really does. And if you have a kid who's wearing a pull-up half the time, it's going to extend the potty training process into a year. When I hear about people like, oh, we've been working on potty training for a year, I was like, what? Like, you're just driving yourself crazy, because it's kind of on your mind. It's kind of not. You're kind of in both camps, which just adds more shit to your plate, parents. Like, just do it. You know, if you're going through hell, go keep going, right? That's don't go backwards and go it again. So this is very confusing to me. And I'm always like astounded when I hear this. Do it wholeheartedly and do it whole hog and get it done. And again, I know there are certain instances, you know, I even have a podcast, certain instances that you may have to re-diaper temporarily or for certain situations that can and does happen. I'm talking about the child sort of choosing like, no, I'd like this. No, I'd like that. And then the bigger problem is there does have to come a day, whether it's your preschool or whether it's, you know, your pre-K or whether it's your kindergarten, where the child has to be fully potty trained. And then you've just kind of messed with the process and sent a mixed signal the whole time. I may have said this the last podcast. I'll probably say this every podcast because I am still astounded by it. They just put a law. There was a bill going through to become Utah law, which it did with some corrections, right? They had to make a law that you have to be potty trained for kindergarten, because so many parents are not potty training before the child goes to kindergarten. And I'm talking about neurodivergent average ability kids. That's insane. That to go to kindergarten not potty trained. Yes, that's 5 years old, you guys, 5 or 6 years old. So what is happening? All right. So this isn't like a joke. So if your 3.5, 4-year-old is still choosing to wear a pull-up sometimes, ask yourself, what's down the pike here? What is going on? Because pretty soon they're going to be in a situation where they must potty train, and they've got this mixed message where it's okay sometimes, it's not okay other times, right? So just do yourself a favor. And also, we are overloaded. Moms, the mental load of moms is insane. Do you really need potty training kind of on your radar, kind of not? Like, keep it on your radar for the solid time it takes to potty train, and then take it off your radar. Yeah, because you're just kind of extending more chatter in your head and more things to kind of keep your eye on. And Lord, we need less. I think that's it. Let me just quickly check my notes. And yeah. Oh, okay, one last thing. When you are night training, if you are choosing to do night training in the beginning, if you are training, you know, trying to do night training a little bit later, that's totally cool. If you have, this particularly comes into play if you have looked into potty alarms for nighttime. So I see this happen a lot. Once your child hits 4 or 5 and they are incapable of staying dry at night, you want to look at their ADH hormone is probably not being released, right? The antidiuretic hormone. It happens in some kids. Bedwetting does have a genetic component. So if anybody in your family has been a bedwetter, that can happen. And so what happens is I will normally recommend a pee alarm. Therapy is a good brand. There's all kinds of ones. But when you look for these alarms, there will be a behavior chart that comes with them so you can reward your kid. I also know that, again, I don't recommend rewards, but I know because I get clients who, you know, get themselves into dire straits with potty training in general. And they'll be like, I know you said not to use rewards, but we're using rewards. And I'm like, well, they're not working. So let's just ditch them, right? So I know parents in desperation will go to rewards. And I know parents love a behavior chart. They think they work. So this is for you. If that's you, I've already pleaded my case for no behavior charts. But if you think a behavior chart is for you, you can go for it, I guess. But if you're doing it for night, don't do it for nighttime. So kids who are peeing unconsciously while they are sleeping, this is not behavior. It cannot be controlled. It is not behavior at all. So for you to set up a behavior chart is really defeating, because if they happen to stay dry by pure luck, right? They get a sticker, or they get whatever the prize is. And then when they have an accident in their sleep, unconsciously, they don't get one. So it seems like a punishment, and it's for something they don't control. We don't reward or punish or give a consequence for something that's beyond a child's control. And so that is a really big one. I get so mad when I hear about behavior charts for night training, because it's not within your child's grasp. Okay. So those are the big do's. Those are the big don'ts. Don't. And I tried to offer solutions for the ones that have solutions, but mainly I'd say, like, overarching, once you start potty training, please get rid of diapers. Don't put them on because your child wants one. Don't put one on to poop. And, you know, you don't have to night train right away, but night training needs to be on your radar at some point. And yeah, that's it. I hope you guys have an awesome day. As always, rock on. I super appreciate you listening. And yeah, I think I said everything. Bye.